What wondrous love is this? Just one of the hymns we'll be studying during this final hour of Issues, Etc. today. The voice you have just heard is the voice of one of our guests, soloist Catherine Peppercorn. She'll join us here in just a moment. We're going to be walking through six hymns, and in doing so, in a manner of speaking, walking through the church year as well, and through what the best of Christian hymnody can do as it proclaims the gospel not only in word but also in song. Our guests, organist and pastor John Berg, he's pastor of Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And as I mentioned before, our second guest, soloist Catherine Peppercorn. John and Catherine have assembled a new recording titled On My Heart, Imprint Your Image, a collection of hymns for the Christian year. Pastor Berg, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd.
And Catherine, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Catherine, you're an opera singer.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about a life as an opera singer, and how does singing opera compare with singing Christian hymns?
Well, life as an opera singer means I sing a lot. I sing every day and do a lot of study and work on just improving my voice all the time. And the difference, it's a little different than singing hymns in that when I sing operas, to be a little crass, I suppose, it's kind of all about me, or it's all about being a great voice. And when I sing hymns, it's all about the words. And it's really very edifying and wonderful to sing. It's different, though, very different.
Pastor Berg, the first of the hymns that we're going to be looking at begins us at, kind of at the beginning of the church year, at least near the beginning of the church's calendar, in Christmas. And the hymn is called, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. Tell us in general first about Christmas hymns. What needs to be done in a good Christmas hymn? And what about this one, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is? What should we look for in it?
Well, the center of all hymnody, first of all, should be about Jesus, our Savior. And in Paul Gerhardt's hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, that's of course, no different. He does a marvelous job at bringing out the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul Gerhardt is probably one of the more beloved hymn writers of our Lutheran Church. Paul Gerhardt had an interesting life himself, and he brings across the gospel so pointedly and clearly in this hymn, showing what Jesus Christ came to do, namely to conquer sin, death, and the devil, all for his children whom he loves so dearly. So this hymn does a marvelous job in pointing this fact out.
So a Christmas hymn is going to be centered not only upon the event of the incarnation, kind of the what of the incarnation. Does it also, of necessity, in order to be a proper cross-centered, Christ-centered hymn, get to the why of the incarnation as well?
Yes, absolutely. It gets to the why of the incarnation, that in order for Christ to meet us in his holy suffering and death on the cross, he had to become as we are, but without sin. And that's what Gerhardt's text so clearly shine forth, in especially in this hymn, but in many of his other hymns.
I'm intrigued by the opening line of this hymn, O Jesus Christ, thy manger is my paradise, at which my soul reclineth, for there, O Lord, doth lie the Word made flesh for us. Herein thy grace forth shineth. What is Gerhardt saying?
It's kind of bringing out that John 1:14, isn't it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that this is the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And he is now being enfleshed for me and for my salvation. And that's where my hope lies, and that's where God's grace is.
Let's hear this, the first of our hymns in our study today, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. That's the hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is, the first of our hymns, as we walk through several of them during this hour of Issues, etc. Catherine, again, your voice that we're hearing there, when you are singing a hymn, most people sing hymns in a big group of people, not to be heard by others, but to join together in those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that Paul talks about. Mm-hmm. When you're singing a hymn for others to hear, how, as a singer, do you communicate the message beyond just saying the words?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, especially in that one. There is a lot of phrases where, like, one would normally breathe, but all of a sudden you look and you see, wait a minute, this goes with that, and we've got to connect these things, and it really brings across the meaning, and also with having certain parts being emphasized, bringing across the meaning of where the text is going.
So I'm thinking about my organist at the congregation where I attend. Mm-hmm. And there are times, and I'd like you to respond to this as well, Pastor Berg, because you're also an organist. There are times when my organist will set a certain phrase apart in the middle of a stanza, mm-hmm, by either changing the setting he's using or by simply playing just the melody with one finger kind of a thing. And inevitably, because he's thinking of these things, it is that phrase in the hymn that we most need to hear, the heart of the hymn, generally speaking, the gospel in
right.
the hymn.
Right. A lot of times the simplicity brings it out instead of the overwhelmingness of it.
Pastor Berg, your thoughts on that as well?
Yes, the organist will always be the, will never want to outshine the text, for the hymn is about the text. It's ultimately about the gospel, as you pointed out, Todd, and it's not about the organist skills or talents. That's not what hymn playing should be about.
Your final thoughts then, Pastor, on this hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is?
This hymn is a hymn that every Christian should learn. The meaningfulness of the incarnational language, Gerhardt's poetry reveals just an implicit gift which Gerhardt was endowed in channeling with his first of all his theological knowledge, his pastoral and personal experience into a really creative way of giving glory to God.
The next hymn leads us to Easter, jumping from Christmas to Easter. triumphant from the grave. The first line reads this way, Pastor, I'm interested in what we are to look for as we listen to this hymn. Triumphant from the grave rose Jesus, strong to save. He crushed, O Christian, mark it well, sin, Satan, death, and hell. Now sing your glad song and joyous praise to him prolong. What should we look for in this Easter hymn, Pastor?
I think the wonderful text that shines forth here is what Jesus did. And this is what I always bring out to my catechumens and in my catechism classes, the three great things that Jesus destroyed in his crucifixion and resurrection. And I always ask them, and they always tell me, Pastor, it's sin, death, and the power of the devil. And that's what this hymn gets at. And then it comes through with that joyful exclamation, sing your glad song and joyous praise to him prolong. Let the world hear this wonderful message, what Christ has come to destroy.
The hymn, Triumphant from the Grave. The hymn Triumphant from the Grave, it is but one of many hymns on a new CD, On My Heart Imprint Your Image, from our two guests during this hour, organist and pastor John Berg and soloist Catherine Peppercorn. Get a pen and paper ready, because after the break I will tell you how you can get this new CD, On My Heart Imprint Your Image. Pastor, there is a sermon in this. If I were to preach an Easter sermon, this would have to be the essence of the sermon, especially that second stanza that we heard that actually is the last stanza. Now Satan is undone, now death's dread power is gone. From fear of hell, you are set free through Jesus' victory. Now sing your glad song and joyous praise to him prolong. Is every hymn, or should every hymn be a sermon?
That's the point of hymnody, Todd, is to proclaim the gospel, to preach. Oftentimes, I thank God for these hymns, because sometimes we pastors don't always hit the ears of our people. They know that a powerful hymn like this will remember as they walk out the door. As Augustine once said, he who sings prays twice. They'll remember those tunes. They'll stick with them, especially in a strong and sturdy tune like this. A triumph.
I wanted to ask you about that, Catherine. Pastor calls it a strong and sturdy tune. Certainly sturdy and strong, it gives that kind of impression, but it doesn't sound easy to sing.
Actually, it's easy. It is very easy. And this is one of the reasons that we chose many of these hymns, is we kind of look at this CD as a primer for new Lutherans, whether they're children or new people to the church, of these are our great treasures. And they're a great way of conveying our theology. And this hymn, with this wonderful refrain, you know, it's a two-line hymn. It's not hard at all. And children love to sing it. You know, they love that triumphant sound. And so we really were glad to have this on the CD. One thing that I remember as we were doing the recording of this CD, and our recording engineer was, you know, working with different ones. I remember thinking, you know, here we are with this recording engineer who isn't Lutheran, and he can look at the music we've just done and say, I think I know what their theology is just by the words of these hymns. And that's just a great feeling.
That actually kind of leads me to the question I had next for you, John, and that is very often this hymn, being an Easter hymn, of course, calls for the praise of God's people explicitly at the end of every stanza. There are a lot of songs popular in the church today, of late, that do a lot of calling for God's people to praise God, but what they omit very often or leave left unsaid are the explicit references to what it is God has done by which he has deserved our praise.
Absolutely. And oftentimes you'll find in that type of hymn that you're speaking about, Todd, is the very lack of law that crushes the sinner and that drives him to show that he needs a Savior, as this hymn does. We didn't have this stanza on there, but the second, third, and fourth stanza really bring this out clearly. If I could quote the second stanza, "Buried like sinful men, who ends his mortal span, our Lord could not long lie there, decay of men to share." Third stanza, "Fierce though God's wrath had been, afflicting him for men, the fiery judgment burned no more, its fury had passed o'er." Fourth stanza, "Nailed fast to yonder tree, see your iniquity, his cross has banished all your sin, your pardon has brought in. Now sing your glad song and joyous praise to him prolong." It's all there in that text, law and gospel, driving the sinner to see his sins, that he needs a Savior, and then pointing us to our Savior Jesus Christ and the wonderful things that he has done for us by shedding his blood, forgiving our sins, and rising from the dead eternally.
It's also very explicit and grounded and concrete. It doesn't call for praising God because God possesses some sort of a generic God-possessing attributes like being marvelous and wonderful and a tremendously nice guy. It says, "Nailed fast to yonder tree, see your iniquity." Right there at the cross is where God is to be praised.
It's the crucifixion, isn't it? And that's what a good hymn will do. A good hymn will paint a picture. It will give us not just kind of this flowery language, but it will preach. It's a very powerful thing. Music is a gift of God. It can be a tool of the devil, too.
The next hymn that we're going to turn our attention to, and we are moving kind of in rapid fashion through the church year, but this is the benefit of kind of doing a quick survey. Usually do the slow surveys of these hymns, stanza by stanzas. This one is, at least in the hymnal, listed under Christian education, which sounds like one of the driest subjects one could possibly think of. "Shepherd of Tender Youth" is the hymn. Pastor, what should we look for in this hymn?
Well, it's kind of funny that this hymn, you talked about Christian education. Actually, the original title of the hymn, first of all, let me backtrack here. This hymn is ascribed to Clement of Alexandria. It is the oldest hymn probably around, written around the time of 170. Its original title was called "Bridle of Colts Untamed," which I always think is maybe a more appropriate term to give to singing this with children. I especially think of that with my five children as they're running around the house.
What was the original title?
The original title of this hymn was "Bridle of Colts Untamed."
Hmm. And how does it come to be "Shepherd of Tender Youth," which is an altogether different image?
Exactly. It came under this by a gentleman by the name of Dexter, who brought this into his hymnal, and he kind of worked this into, as you put it, more of a Christian education text, basing it on Deuteronomy chapter 32. "Remember the days of old, consider the generations long past." So it kind of had some tweaking in its days.
Let's listen to the hymn, "Shepherd of Tender Youth."
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth, through devious ways, Christ our triumphant King, we come your name to sing. And here our children bring to join your praise. You're the reason.
Shepherd of tender youth. The final stanza there, so now until we die, sound we your praises high and joyful sing, infants, and the glad throng who to the church belong, unite to swell the song to Christ our King. Our guest, organist and pastor John Berg, and soloist Catherine Peppercorn, whose voice you are hearing as we walk through these hymns one by one. Pastor, I'm always intrigued by these ancient hymns, and this one, of course, is genuinely ancient. As you said, somewhere in the year 170 is its authorship traced to. They very often make reference to death, whereas modern hymns tend to shy away from the idea that we're going to die someday soon. This one makes it very clear. So now until we die. And it's very plain. Is this a strength of the ancient hymns?
I think it is, Todd. The strength of the reality that we are all born and we all die. And as you read through Scripture, we have this long genealogies, especially in the Old Testament. And they died and they died. And it's this constant procession, kind of a death march that we all are aware of, that one day we will die. I think we try to shy away from that in our culture. We try to clean death up to make it go away, but it doesn't. And what this ancient hymn does is shows us where to put our trust in, the one that can rescue us from death, and that is Christ alone, who gives life and he gives it abundantly.
Catherine, with only a minute here before we go to our break, you had mentioned one of the purposes of putting these hymns together in one CD was to introduce a solid hymnody to people who are first coming into contact with Lutheran theology, Lutheran preaching, its message. Did that include also children? This one has the theme of our children.
Oh, most definitely. In fact, we used this a lot with children and used it with the children of our school and have had a lot of interest in that. And, you know, I think, as you said, with this idea of death, I think people don't want to talk about death with kids, whereas children are very aware of it. They see it all around them, and I think it's silly and deceptive to kind of think that you can kind of gloss over it when this is important for them, too. You know, their faith is a life and death ordeal, and it's nothing to be taken lightly.
Catherine Peppercorn is our guest, along with Pastor John Berg. We're studying Hymns of the Church year. Get a pen and paper ready, because after this break, I'm going to tell you how you can get this new CD called On My Heart, Imprint Your Image, a collection of hymns for the church year. And speaking of that title, when we come back, that's the hymn we'll both be looking at and hearing, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image. It is one of my very favorites. It was a perennial when Pastor Wilkin was a parish pastor. It was a perennial for the season of Lent. It says the message of Lent very clearly. We'll be right back.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, etc.
We usually think of the Reformation teachings of Martin Luther as radically Christ-centered, but they were more than that. They were cross-centered. Luther's theology is even called a theology of the cross. What is this theology? Our new Issues, Etc. book of the month for October is called Lift High This Cross, The Theology of Martin Luther. You can order Lift High This Cross online. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find information about the book. Or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. When you call or write, mention Issues, Etc. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for October, Lift High This Cross, The Theology of Martin Luther. 1-800-325-3040.
Genesis. Why do we argue about it?
Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Apologetics Ministry of Answers in Genesis. Well, Ken, why do Christians have so many different ideas about the book of Genesis?
Well, the reason has to do with the way each of us approaches the Bible. For instance, I read Genesis in a straightforward way and let it speak for itself. After all, it's written in what's called historical narrative. But many Christians take ideas from outside the Bible to the Bible. Then they try to reinterpret the scriptures to justify the positions they've already decided to accept. After a lecture I gave in Dublin, Ireland, A man came up to me and insisted that God made a wife for Cain from Cain's rib, just as God did for Adam. Well, I went through all the arguments I could think of why this wouldn't work, but the man kept insisting. Finally, I said to him, "Look, the Bible doesn't say that." And he looked at me and said, "Aye, but it doesn't say that he didn't either." You see, it didn't matter what arguments I used, the man's mind was already made up. The problem is that we're all just like the first Adam. He didn't want to accept the plain truths of God's word either, but wanted to decide truth for himself.
Does that mean that all the different people groups we see around today came from Adam and Eve? It's a question Ken Ham tackles in his free booklet, available on our free website, AnswersRadio.com. It's very attractive and easy to use. Well, next time you're at your computer, log on to AnswersRadio.com.
Advocates of abortion claim to defend the so-called woman's right to choose. But what about a woman's right to know?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion advocates have been fighting a law in Indiana that requires an abortionist to provide women with information about abortion and its risks and about fetal development at least 18 hours before the procedure. The more a woman knows about abortion and its risks, and about fetal development, the less likely she is to have an abortion. We see this as a good thing. Informing women and reducing abortion are the benefits of right-to-know laws like the one in Indiana.
The Susan B. Anthony List is dedicated to supporting pro-life legislation, training candidates and activists, and promoting pro-life leaders. To view all this month's commentaries, visit our website at sba-list.org.
On the next Joy, a very special program, as we present a preview of the first ever St. Louis English Festival. Associate producer Dennis Barger will join me, and so will the festival's organizer, John Romeri. This is Ron Clem inviting you to join us for All Things British, this week on Joy.
Listen to Joy, Sunday afternoon at 4:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., a two-hour discussion on liberal theology with Dr. Thomas Oden of Drew University, and part two of our interview with Craig Parton on American evangelicalism. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. We've been studying hymns selected from a new CD produced by our two guests during this hour. The CD is called On My Heart, Imprint Your Image, a collection of hymns for the Christian year. You can have this CD, we're sampling it throughout this hour, by either calling area code 262-697-6044, that's 262-697-6044, or by writing 8411 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53158. That's 8411 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53158. Or you can actually go online to ChristLutheranAcademy.com. That's www.ChristLutheranAcademy.com. The CD costs $14 plus $3.50 for shipping and handling. It's called On My Heart, Imprint Your Image. Area code 262-697-6044 or www.ChristLutheranAcademy.com. The next hymn is one of my favorites. I said it was a regular for the Lent season when I was a parish pastor in Illinois, partly for me because it was extremely simple and elegant, merely one stanza, and to me that was something that fit the entire tone of Lent. Nothing overblown, something simple, something focused. On My Heart, Imprint Your Image. What should we listen for here, Pastor Berg?
It's a wonderful hymn again. I think it brings out the baptismal life of the Christian, that we are buried with Christ through baptism into his death and raised again. And at baptism, the Christian is marked with the sign of the cross, both upon his upon his mind and upon his heart to mark him as one redeemed by Jesus Christ. That hymn so clearly, succinctly puts this through. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me is my life, my hope's foundation, my glory and salvation.
I can't help but think of Paul's words in Galatians, where he says, far be it from me to glory except in the cross of my Savior Jesus Christ. Is that most likely the text upon which this short hymn is based?
Absolutely. I also think, Todd, of Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives me. In the life which I now live, I live in flesh, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
What in, I'm thinking here of the second line of this hymn, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. That seems to kind of sound the general message of repentance and self-denial that seems to mark Lent in particular as a church season. Am I right?
Right. Denying yourself and taking up the cross of Christ. It's a theme that comes through very clearly in this. It's the stuff that gets in the place of Jesus, putting other gods first in our lives, and that text brings that out.
Catherine, when you sing hymns like this, especially for the CD, you have to be aware of a lot of things. As you say, you're aware of how your voice is sounding and how you're phrasing the music and its message. Does it also afford you the opportunity to, as in the case of this hymn being a prayer, to sing the hymn as a prayer?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this hymn was one of the first hymns we were teaching our Sunday school here, and it's so full of visual images. And I use this hymn a lot with my children. In fact, we have it printed along the border in our nursery, in our baby's room, because even though this is in the Lenten section of the hymnal, I really look at this as a baptismal hymn and is really the hymn that is a prayer, is a constant prayer that we say of keep it all straight in my life. That his image is why I'm here.
On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus, crucified for me, is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. That short hymn, On My Heart Imprint Your Image. Pastor, one cannot hear this particular hymn, especially the way that it is presented here on this CD with, probably the cello providing the simple melody before the hymn begins, and not say, boy, that sounds like a hymn from Lent. There's something about it that seems to mark musically, by way of its tune, the hymns of Lent. What is that that is so familiar to our ears?
I think it's that minor key that's coming out that's hitting you, Todd. The hymn was originally a passion hymn. I know you stated you like this hymn so much. It's a the one that you loved and used very much as a parish pastor, and I commend you on that. You'd be kind of curious to know that originally this hymn had 29 stanzas to it and was first published in the Lutheran Hymnary in 1913. We only have one remaining stanza left here for us in our hymnal, Lutheran Worship, that we used.
It had 29 stanzas. Was it that the other stanzas weren't worth reproducing, or did they just boil them all down into one?
I'm not sure. I didn't look in the Lutheran Hymnary. I don't have a copy in front of me right now, but I would be curious to find that out. If it was a Passion hymn, if it was something more like O Sacred Head Now Wounded, which kind of walks through visually of our Lord's week of suffering and death, if that's what it was like or not, I'm not quite sure.
I always wonder about those things because you always wonder, what's been lost then? Or, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, what are we no longer singing that was being sung? The next hymn is one that does pick up also on, I guess you could say, the minor key theme, if not the minor key by way of tune, I Walk in Danger All the Way. What is this hymn about, Pastor?
This hymn is based on a number of scripture passages. The successive stanzas are based on them. The first one that jumps to mind is the first stanza where Peter in 1 Peter 5:8 talks about, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And as we walk through this hymn, we're reminded of the fact that we do walk in danger. One wrong turn on a highway and we can be taken to be with Jesus. The next stanza talks about passing through trials all the way. The third stanza, "Death pursues me all the way." The fourth stanza, "I walk with angels who guide me and befriend me." Satan's power is held at bay when these heavenly hosts attend me. The fifth stanza we get to, "I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance will never fail me. In his wounds I find a stay when Satan's power assails me." And then the sixth stanza takes us to, "My walk is heavenward all the way. Await my soul tomorrow when God's good healing shall allay all suffering, sin, and sorrow. Then worldly pomp be gone. To heaven I now press on. For all the world I would not stay. My walk is heavenward all the way." So based on six different Bible verses.
You mentioned when we were talking about a previous hymn, the three great foes that Christ has conquered in his death and resurrection, Satan, death, and hell, they seem to be reflected at least in some way in the first three stanzas, Satan, trials, and death. And this, again, is something that you do not often hear in popular Christian music nowadays. Satan gets very little play. Trials may be of a minor kind of low self-esteem is the worst trial I could suffer, and certainly not death.
I think you're correct. This hymn does something that many contemporary hymns don't do today, and that is walks through the Christian life. And it is a life of trials, and there's suffering and death that we go through. I think of our academy children last year at our school here at our parish that were confronted with the death of a 5-year-old. And they sang at that funeral, Todd, and they sang one of the great hymns that we have in our hymnal supplement, "God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, I Am Baptized into Christ." And they sang three stanzas that to the family. You know, sin can't take away, or God has conquered sin. I'm baptized into Christ. The devil has been conquered through Christ. And singing in the devil's face, "I'm baptized into Christ." And then death has been conquered through Jesus. And I have nothing to fear because I'm baptized into Christ.
Folks, you see what we're robbed of sometimes when the solid, well-grounded, sure-footed hymns of the past are tossed out for things that are transient, like mist and wind. We're robbed of a genuine depiction and the comfort that comes to us in the midst of the real Christian life. Not some hoped-for Christian life, not some ideal Christian life. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that never arrives. God comforts us in the midst of real life, not our ideal of life. Pastor, you had something to say.
I would totally agree with you, God.
I'm sorry. Let's take Catherine first.
You know, you're saying that, and that's a really good point, and I know I keep coming back to the children, but that is That is the exact same reason why we made this hymn, this collection for children, too. And I know myself, and I said in the foreword, that these are the hymns I learned as a child, and I'm very thankful for, because they have the words of these hymns, even though I didn't understand them when I was a child, but they stayed with me because I learned them by heart, and as my knowledge grew, I could understand them more.
And then very briefly, Pastor, your thoughts?
I would agree completely with Catherine. I think we often want to give something that our children can grow out of quickly and instead of something to grow into. And that's what these texts do, is give them something for the rest of their faith life.
Let's hear this hymn, I Walk in Danger All the Way. I Walk in Danger All the Way is the hymn, the second to last hymn we'll be looking at today as we study this Hymns of the Church Year. Using this CD, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image, a collection of hymns for the Christian year, and those who were involved in it, our two guests, organist and pastor John Berg and soprano Catherine Peppercorn. You can have this new CD by visiting a website, ChristLutheranAcademy.com. It's all one word, ChristLutheranAcademy.com. Or you can write Christ Lutheran Academy at 8411 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53158. That's 8411 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53158. You can also call area code 262 262- 262-697-6044, 262-697-6044. The CD, On My Heart Imprint Your Image, is $14 plus $3.50 for shipping and handling. The final hymn for our attention today is again one of my favorites, What Wondrous Love Is This? This will stand out a bit for our listeners, perhaps only to their ear, Pastor, because this sounds more modern. It almost sounds like a spiritual in a way. Tell us about it.
This haunting early American tune supports the meditative text on the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. It's the wondrous love of God caused our Lord to become incarnate and ultimately led him to suffer and die for our sins and to free us so that we're free from death, we'll sing for eternity, and that's what this hymn gets at. It kind of walks through the Christian life in a little different way than the other hymns that we've listened to before.
Catherine, this hymn also employs something that is perhaps characteristics of the kind of hymn it is, lots of repetition, repeating lines, but also repeating single phrases like, oh my soul, or sinking down, sinking down. When we're singing a hymn like this, how does that repetition serve to drive home the message of a hymn like this?
Well, I think it just obviously gives it a little bit more emphasis. But also, I think when it deals with our emotion, and obviously our faith is not based on emotion, but we are emotional people, and this kind of carries us in that direction.
And what is the message, Pastor, of this hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This, if you could boil it down?
Yes, the message of this hymn comes clearly from 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, and he knows God. Who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
The hymn is, What Wondrous Love Is This?
What wondrous love is this? To bear the
the hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This, but one of several that we've been studying during this hour of Issues, etc. Catherine, before we go very briefly, the proceeds for this CD, On My Heart and Print Your Image, where do they go?
They go to Christ Lutheran Academy, which is the school that is from our joint churches here, the Lutheran Academy.
Catherine Peppercorn, thank you very much for being our guest and for your fine work on this CD.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Todd.
And Pastor John Berg, thank you for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor John Berg is pastor of Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Soprano Catherine Peppercorn and Pastor Berg assembled this new recording, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image, a collection of hymns for the church year. Other hymns on this CD include I Am Jesus' Little Lamb, O Come, Emmanuel, Beautiful Savior, and again, one of my favorites, Abide With Me, and more. If you want to get this hymn, these hymns on this CD, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image, you can call area code 262-697-6044. That's 262-697-6044, or write Christ Lutheran Academy at 8411 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53158. That's 8411 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, 53158. Or visit them on the web, ChristLutheranAcademy.com. ChristLutheranAcademy.com. The CD is $14 plus $3.50 for shipping and handling, and the proceeds go to support Christ Lutheran Academy. Operators are standing by right now to take your call, area code 262-697-6044. Sunday night on the program, we'll talk about the solas of the Reformation. By faith alone, by grace alone, for Christ's sake alone, and Scripture alone. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will be our guest. That's Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. Tomorrow on the program, a two-hour discussion on theological liberalism with Dr. Thomas Oden, and the conclusion with Craig Parton. We'll be talking about evangelicalism. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Thanks for listening. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.